Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
molecular tour of Penthrox, or methyl oxyfluorine. I think that would be it. So this is basically a liquid. If you sniff it, you get enough intense vapor. It acts as a conscious anesthetic. So it's a sort of, in general, if you want an anesthetic, you need an anesthetist. And this is a do-it-yourself anesthetic. And it's part of a thing that I had sort of missed out on at sporting events all around Australia, as I've been witness to accidents and stuff like that. Apparently in the background people have been saying, oh, we got out the green whistle, huh? They dislocated his arm, they came up with the green whistle. And of course I obviously didn't really listen hard enough and looked at the ambulance, looked at the person, and I didn't hear this green whistle. And the idea, so the green whistle is something that you, that Aussies around sporting events and Ambos in Australia all, and New Zealand all know about, a green whistle, and it looks like a green whistle. And it's this thing that if someone's in pain with a burn or something like that, you say, mate, suck on this little tube, a green tube. Before they give it to you, they put it with a few drops of this equipment onto a wick inside, i.e. it builds up the vapour, large surface area. I suppose the surface tension means that it wicks up inside, gives you a large surface area on the inside, and you breathe it in, and it goes inside you and has a high lipid or fat solubility. Lipid is the actual, I suppose, the fatty oil around the outside of your cells, your lipid layer. And I forgot what the formula is for lipid, but lipid, it's got oil in the end and a plastic, an oily end and a, water attractant layer. So your cells have got a double lipid layer. That is an oily layer, a moisture attracting layer. But in that moisture attracting layer, you've got, instead of more water, you've got another moisture attracting layer of the other lipid. So your cells have got a double lipid layer around it. So lipid is really not your fatty oil in your stuff. This is the sort of the basic fat on the outside of your cells to get them to go. So essentially your cells can't be water soluble. If your cell was water soluble, you would dissolve in water. You go a shower and you go, I'm looking rather thin, I've actually dissolved myself off and washed myself down the drain and left with a skeleton and a few muscles and a bit of stuff. So the actual cells have a waterproof double fat layer, sort of like a double detergent layer around the outside. And this methyl oxyfluorine, or Penthrox as it's called, is highly soluble. So it's highly volatile and highly soluble. It's got that combination of things, and is a toxin, is broken down, and when it breaks down into basically a body-wide ether, sort of smelling salts, which gets there. I suppose it doesn't get down into the blood-brain barrier. I suppose that may be it. So it knocks out most things. It knocks out all the central peripheral energy, the peripheral nervous system, and dulls it that way. Now, as I said, I should be able to do this molecular tour rather easy. So we start off with the backbone of the molecule, there's sort of molecular formula and chemical formula. This is the structural formula it's written as you walk along the molecule, if you can. If it's a linear molecule, it can have a nice structural formula because you don't have a ring in it. So you've got a line. You've got a line of atoms you talk about as you come along. But let's start off with the sort of backbone of it. We've got a carbon, an oxygen, and two carbons. Fairly simple. So the carbon goes into the oxygen. So a oxygen in a link between two carbons is a ether. So your basic polyethylene is a carbon chain with oxygen in it. So this is just an ether, and your so this is your smelling salts and stuff like that. And essentially, it's a three hydrogens stuck onto your first carbon, making a methyl group stuck onto your oxygen. So that is a methanol. The next stuck onto that oxygen was another hydrogen. That would be a. I hope this is. I can feel my microphone clicking a little bit, so I've got to make sure that it doesn't do. I can actually feel it underneath clicking. I wonder what that is from. Try. I hope it doesn't actually come through to you guys. I wonder why it works. You've got no idea what's actually going, why it should be. It should be like that. I wonder if I'll go like this. Yeah, that'll make it a bit harder to work out how to click. So there's a sort of holding it apart. Hopefully it's a little bit better. So we've got the methanol, the methyl, it's three hydrogen, a carbon, an oxygen. Nope, it goes on to a carbon, which has two fluorines attached to it. Carbon's got four bonds, one to the oxygen, two, one each to two fluorines. Another carbon bond down to another carbon, and on that next bond, next carbon is two chlorines. And so in general, yeah, I'll describe the colours of it, the colour convention. And you have two chlorines and an oxygen. Sorry, not an oxygen, a hydrogen. And so that's your basic molecule. And having a guide of it, obviously, these chlorines have got strong electron affinity, so they will have sites in the ether and go in there quickly. I don't know quite how you do it, what molecules you'll have there, but I could well imagine a hydrochloric acid and some sort of ethanols there to actually get it to stick. The major sort of movement in the the freons and the fluorine chemistry is being able to handle fluorine. It was sort of a no-no gas that people didn't want, and when the it was found that uranium hexafluoride had different diffusion rates for slightly different molecular weights, meant that you could separate U235 from 238 really quickly in a centrifuge. So you've got to have the magic combination of a centrifuge and your fluorine handling capability. And so fluorine handling capability meant that they had to come up with a whole heap of fluorinated plastics, which wouldn't be eaten away by the fluorine gas. So that moved all along. And I don't know, it seems to be a uniquely Australian thing that sort of we've used and haven't had too many problems with. And so what happens is that the I assume that it would be a green whistle would be a longer stick. The medic would, I assume, press a vial. You wouldn't have them out in the field with a dropper bottle doing measuring of drops in it. The vial it would perhaps hold it upright, and the glass ampoule would break, covering the tube, and you'd break it off and then pass it to the patient. So I imagine there'd be a lid and a back plane in it, that would deliver. And so you have this thing, it goes into the wick, the wetting compound. So all their fluorines and stuff like that wet like anything. This is one of the more delightful things of Freon. It used to really wet and go over all metal surfaces really quickly and find its way into leaks and vacuum systems. So you, with a bottle of Freon, you could just squirt it on a vacuum system and instantly see, you know, just the vacuum system would just go bananas because it had this wetting property, would go through leaks really quickly. Again, your system, and also it's pretty inert. It wouldn't destroy your diffusion oil, the oil gases. It's a really great thing to use, Freon. So you can imagine this is a Freon related thing. It's sort of like a g'day mate, a big whiteboard marker, which has sort of various volatiles in it, and this would get in and basically save you. And I'm sure it's banned by the Montreal ozone layer protocol to get this going, and so that would break and you just get it really quickly. And I used a little bit in Germany, but only in Australia and New Zealand, and therefore it depends where you read and you listen. If you're not really tuned into the deep story of it. Now, I was pleased and relieved, in actual fact, to find that pleased and relieved to find that a person I was at soccer with had said, look, I hadn't heard of the green whistle till last year. And, of course, when I said, look, news to me, let me look it up and let me analyse it. And, of course, I read it. I said, oh, look, I can do that molecule really simply, because of, you know, it's just so few atoms. When you've tried to memorize some of the bases and the purines and the adenosines and these really complex things like FeMoCo and B12, it's really hard. This is really easy. Now, just before I go, I'll just go in the colouring because I've got a little while to go. I'm walking, obviously, up to the gym. And what time is it? It's 20 past, bloody past 9 o'clock at night. And walking out there. Now, thankfully, there's not a large amount of traffic coming along, and of course it's all memory in, memory out, and then what happens is you build up your memory in a certain area and then you go, oh bloody hell, I didn't pick up this social cue, or I didn't remember that, or gee whiz, people talk about that and you say, fuck, I've got no memory of that whatsoever, bloody hell. So it's good when you've trained your memory up and you can do things, but you've got other areas where you've got to go and you've got to say, especially it's sort of like a big black hole, and you throw your rope down and you sort of remember curves and turns and you try and bring up different parts of your memory. It's sort of bloody hard. Okay, so let's do the colouring. Chlorine gas is green and large balls on it because it's got a large atomic radius, And then fluorine is sort of a musty yellow colour. Carbon is black. Oxygen's white. So let's look at, you've got a little white oxygen, white hydrogen tail. Did I say oxygen? Hydrogen tail. Two big, big buffy chlorine feet going into a carbon, which links up to another carbon. And on top of that, two little ears, rather cute ears, which are, oh, shoe ears. Are fluorine, and then that goes to an oxygen. Oxygen's got a traditional colour of red. Goes into a carbon, like it's like a red head and a little nose, I suppose, of carbon. And onto that carbon nose, you've got three hydrogens. So that's my memory. Gear to the max. I'll have a break now and probably do another quick podcast before I reach the gym. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.